This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Drew Brees, is he old? Has he fallen off the cliff before Brady? Brady's just been going down a ravine. Brees, as accurate as ever. Is it a cliff? If you go back a couple years toward the end of the season, Drew Brees, by the way, even infamously, on the blown pass interference play, Brees threw a bad pass. Brees was bad late in games and in the playoffs when you needed him to be good. And then last year again, not his best self when you needed him most, because he's 40 years old last year and he'd been through a lot at the end of a long season. Guess what? A 40-year-old's arm is tired. Even with the rules changes favoring the quarterback, you can't look at a quarterback sideways. They give you a roughing the passer penalty. Is he getting old? Like, it's too early to say definitively. Yes, Brees is old after 2 weeks. But let's not forget, two games in the NFL is a different sample size than in the NBA, or certainly Major League Baseball. It's a significant percentage of the season. It's over 10% of the season. And so far, Brees has shown enough that your eyebrows have to be raised. What? Yards per carry, by far the lowest of his career? Sorry, yards per attempt, by far the lowest of his career? It's got to make you wonder. And here's the thing. John Gruden kind of dared Drew Brees to beat him late in the game. You're up 7. You attempt a 54-yard field goal. Look, more than 60% now, I believe, of 50-plus yard field goals are made. It's not like the old days, right? So it's a better proposition than it used to be. But 54 yards, you're starting to stretch it. Because if you miss that field goal, you've given Brees time to tie the game up at least, or maybe even to win. I think Gruden, now they made the field goal, but I think Gruden felt comfortable, like, all right, yeah, I'll take that chance with Brees right now. And who could blame him the way Brees played? Even against Tom Brady the way he played. In week one, they won because the Bucs were even worse, but the Saints did not look good, and Brees did not look good. He's one of the all-time greats, easy personality to root for. Even when he put his foot in his mouth earlier in the season, like when he said in the preseason or the offseason, when he said he made comments about the protests and conflated it with protesting the military somehow. But he made very similar comments a couple years ago, and there was no controversy, so he thought that was okay. The world had changed out from under Drew Brees' feet. The country had changed, and he didn't realize it. He had to recalibrate himself. But when he saw the reaction of his teammates, it seemed genuine to me. He wanted to make amends. Even if he didn't fully understand it, he wanted to understand it. And by the way, Drew Brees is allowed to understand it and still disagree with it. But the fact was, he wanted to understand it. He's like, whatever your personal, like, kind of policy preferences are, based on what you've been exposed to and your philosophy, the way you think, if your heart is in the right place, even if you ultimately end up disagreeing, you can still disagree with people as what's called the loyal opposition. In this country, until recently, the right, the left, viewed each other as the loyal opposition. Nowadays, there are people that make you wonder at the highest level of our politics, is that the loyal opposition? But usually that's the way it works. And Drew Brees, it has an easy personality to root for. You can see why he's a great leader, right, on the field. He's old. He's ancient by NFL standards. If not for Tom Brady, still a competent NFL quarterback. I wouldn't say more than that, but a competent NFL quarterback at age 43, we'd be like, oh my God, the whole story would be how old Drew Brees is. The way it was with Favre, when Favre was 40 years old and still playing. Don't forget, Sean Payton came out and said Taysom Hill is our quarterback of the future, and the future might be this upcoming season. They were going to let Bridgewater go because they had to wait on Drew Brees' decision. Was he going to retire or not? And in a game like football, full contact sport. Someone who's thinking about retiring in one way, the old saying was, has already retired. They're not fully committed. I disagree with that. I think that it's possible to go through a decision-making process. But once you've made up your mind, you're all in. I believe Drew Brees is all in. He is just old. And the question as to whether he's fallen off a cliff will be answered in the coming weeks. But that is a legitimate question right now. John Gruden dared him. Go ahead, beat us. Drew Brees. We're going to kick this field goal. If we miss it, all right, you take over with a shorter field than it ought to be. But they didn't punt. But that's all right. We'll take our chances. Think about, would someone do that 5 or 6 years ago? And if they did, wouldn't it be a big story? You gave Drew Brees with time a chance to take it to overtime, maybe even win? Won a story last night, was it? Not really. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Ryan in New York, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. I want to know if you think Michael Thomas being out last night is the reason for the Saints' loss.
I think that I don't know about the reason for the loss. You could argue, hey, a lot of yards per attempt is, if you're dinking and dunking, it's because that's the personnel, that's the system, and that's large. That has an impact on that, on yards per attempt. And so not having Michael Thomas short, because Emmanuel Sanders is a very good number two. Is he a number one? Maybe once upon a time you could say Sanders is your number one, you're okay. At this point in his career, I would say he's a real good number two. But when the number one's not there and the running game's not the same because Ingram's been gone for over a year now, that's a little different. But no, I think the question is open. It's possible that his absence really affected Brees that way. It's also possible that it's a combination of both, that Brees will look better than he has the first 2 weeks, certainly last week, when Thomas comes back. But that even if he looks better, it won't be the Brees we've come to know. Travis in Texas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, man, big fan. I was just going to say, the Saints have two quarterbacks back there. They got Taysom Hill and they got 2019's leading passer, Jameis Winston. I mean, and he got eye surgery. Now he's got 20/20 vision. Maybe it's time for a change of quarterback at some point. Maybe not right now. Maybe not overreact, but maybe at some point.
As, if Brees falls off the cliff, then yes. Here's the thing about Jameis Winston. Jameis was a big stat, guy, right? He put up big numbers. Big arm, put up big numbers. He's not scared, that's for sure. And if it really was an eyesight problem, okay. 5,000 yards passing, 30 touchdowns, but 30 interceptions. It's a 30-30 club. When I was a kid, before Canseco went 40-40, 40 home runs, 40 steals, 30-30 was a big deal. Barry Bonds' dad, Bobby Bonds, used to go 30-30. Boy, in football, that's not good. 30 interceptions that resulted in 112 points. 112 points. Ryan Clark said that's the one dude to be the offensive and defensive player of the game in every game he plays in. So, yeah, maybe if his eyesight's cleared up. And also, here's the thing about Taysom Hill. Everyone, I used to argue with NFL guys a lot. They would tell me he's a gadget player. I'd be like, hold up, timeout. Taysom Hill's a stud. Taysom Hill, when you watch him, sometimes you're like, is that the best player in football? The thing about Taysom Hill is he's legit fast. He can carry the ball, he can block, he can catch, and he can throw. But it does tell you something that Jameis is signed to back him up, to back Brees up, that Taysom Hill, for all the talk that Sean Payton's done, has not been given the reins of the team and may not. I still love, I think that guy is valuable. All right, when I really want to know what's happening, is this player still good? Ah, it's football. I don't know, a lot of guys on the field. Last time I saw him play, I thought he was pretty good. Some player in the secondary, whatever. So I have my own kind of theories about it or feelings about it. But what I know, when I want to know what's actually happening, I call Warren Sharp of Sharp Analytics. And Warren Sharp joins us now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Predictive NFL analytics and visualized data at, ready for this, sharpfootballanalysis.com. You want to go to sharpfootballanalysis.com. Warren, you there?
I'm here, Max.
So is Drew Brees finally old? Is that what those yards per attempt means?
It does mean that he's struggling to throw the football down the field with accuracy. It also means that he doesn't have good chemistry with Emmanuel Sanders. It also means that Sean Payton was designing an offense that he thought was going to work against the Raiders' defense. It also means that Michael Thomas is a security blanket for Drew Brees and has been for a number of years. And as a result, without him being there, and I mean, there really was Michael Thomas and nobody else. It's Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara for the last several years, a tight end here or there, a wide receiver here or there, but no real number two wide receiver ever emerged. That's why I thought it was so big that Emmanuel Sanders was going there. But at the end of the day, all the fingers are going to come back and point at Drew Brees. And there is some truth to the fact that his play is precipitously falling off. And it remains to be seen how Sean Payton schemes up the offense to try to still get upside out of the Saints passing attack.
You know, for years, quarterbacks could be cruising at a very high altitude. I'm thinking of Brett Favre, Peyton Manning, a number of others. And all of a sudden, he could play till he's 50. And all of a sudden, right off the cliff, which is why I made the prediction about Tom Brady. Now, number one, diet, nutrition, and exercise, and stretching, and plyometrics, and kale smoothies, or whatever else. But also, roughing the passer rules changed, you know. And Tom Brady is 43, still a competent NFL quarterback. I think people overlook how old Drew Brees is. And what, like 41 is historically very old. And Warren, when I look at it, this guy considered retirement in the offseason. And when I look at the last several years, by the end of the year, late in the season, in games and the playoffs included, he didn't look the same to me. He looked tired. So now with these two games, weeks 1 and 2, what you gave a very nuanced answer, and these things are multifaceted. But if someone said it has to be column A or column B, right, and the choices are Brees is showing his age or there are other factors contributing to this, which would you take? Which option would you pick at this point? What would your guess be?
I would definitely be taking more of option A. I would be taking more of Drew Brees is showing his age. If you notice the last couple of years, Sean Payton has actually modified some of the play calling strategies. Back in the heyday, this was a pass first, pass heavy, pass often type offense. And they really got a lot more run heavy over the last couple of seasons. And I also remember charting out what Drew Brees did after the Saints played the Atlanta Falcons on Thanksgiving a couple of seasons ago, where he took a shot in that game on Thanksgiving and just never looked the same. I believe it was after an interception where the guy ran across the backside of the field, and Drew Brees went to tackle him before he ran in for a pick six. And Drew Brees took a shot in the shoulder from somebody blocking him. And at that point, the rest of the season, his passing, his depth of target, his accuracy down the field was measurably worse throughout the course of the rest of that season. So it is definitely something that we have to keep an eye on. If I'm Sean Payton, I am continuing to dial up a very structured passing attack that will be more run heavy if possible, lean a little bit more on the ground attack, and try to get whatever I can out of Drew Brees as a quarterback. Fortunately for them, they made the very good move of getting Jameis Winston, a great backup plan. We know that, you know, we'll see if his vision is corrected, if his interceptions and decision making improves, but he is a good backup quarterback to have and a nice have as a NFL coach if you're starting quarterback starts to fall off that cliff.
I want to ask you, Sharp, by the way, everyone, this is Warren Sharp. Check it out, sharpfootballanalysis.com. To me, it's the best in the business. Warren, I want to ask you about Taysom Hill. I've been told he's a gadget guy forever, but that's a hell of a gadget. You know, like he's fast. He's legit fast. He's strong. He can block. He can catch. And he can throw. So, you know, in baseball, it's a five-tool player, right? In football, Sean Payton was talking about he's our next quarterback. Now, his behavior tells me he doesn't believe that. But he was trying to sell that. What is your feeling on Taysom Hill?
Taysom Hill, to me, is a commodity that I need to see a little bit more of before I'm willing to buy into it. Here's the reason why. Most of what we see out of Taysom Hill is a lot of runs. I mean, this guy, there's a joke circulating on Twitter. they don't call him Gibson. They call him Taysom. Any type of read option, he's taking the ball and he's keeping it. And we don't really see a lot of his arm talent. It's one thing to throw on a trick gadget type play where a guy is kind of running free and you could just throw the ball out in front of him. It's another thing to have to throw the ball 36 times a game and deliver some type of accuracy. So I don't really know what we're going to get out of him as a quarterback. I guarantee you most of the stuff that he's been practicing with the Saints over the last couple of years, especially this year and this offseason, has not been to be the backup quarterback. It's to do a lot of these other things. It's to act as a wide receiver. It's to act as a blocker. It's to act as a ball carrier on some of these plays. So he hasn't had the reps and the practice time as a quarterback in this offense. Therefore, I'm a little skeptical to think he's just going to come in and be QB1 and take things over when he really hasn't practiced as QB1, even backup QB2 for a number of seasons. But Sean Payton is far more intelligent than I am and knows his players a lot better than I do. So if Sean Payton thinks that this is the next guy to carry the baton for the Saints offense, then, you know, then more power to him. But I need to see it out on the football field to really know if I think this guy can stand up to a accurately delivering the ball 30-plus times a game, on time, on target, as a pocket passer, and doing a little bit of the other things right. He could be like the Cam Newton style of quarterback. I totally get that. But he still has to deliver the ability to read the field, go from different reads, 1 to 2 to 3, find the open guy, all of those types of things, than just catching a ball and throwing it down the field on 1 or 2 trick plays a game.
Gotcha. All right, I have 2 more people to ask you about. I got about 3 minutes, okay? So you can time yourself. You can space it out, you know. Number one, Derek Carr. My theory is, Warren, that there are some people on the far right end of the bell curve, right? Like Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Donald, Aaron Rodgers, Lawrence Taylor back in the day, Deion Sanders. Their talent is such that no matter what coach they would have wound up with, they were going to be great players. Tom Brady was going to be great. Doesn't matter where he went. The fact that he's the GOAT is because he went to Belichick. So coaching does have an effect, but they're so intrinsically great that they're going to be great. Most of the players in the league fall in the middle somewhere, whether on the good side or bad side of the curve, in the middle somewhere, and coaching makes a big difference. To me, Derek Carr is in the middle. And early in his career, he looked really good. I thought in recent years he didn't. And this year so far, to me, he looks good again. And I think it's because he's in the right situation. Is Derek Carr actually good? How much of this is a mirage? What am I to think?
I think you are dead on in terms of how much coaching factors into different player ceilings for the vast majority of players. It's very important to be in the right system and have the right coach. And it ends up raising your stock from that perspective tremendously. I think for Derek Carr, he does look better this year, but I still view him as nothing better than an average NFL quarterback. Now, that's still a very good compliment to be paid compared to a lot of guys who haven't made it in the league and aren't capable of doing things. I still think he is a very capable, but he's very average quarterback in
average starter. Because like to me, if you're an average starting quarterback, you have a lot of value. It's like being an average point guard in the NBA. That those an average starting pitcher in baseball, that has value because there are only 32 jobs, starting jobs. So that's pretty good. So average quarterback's pretty good. It means with the right coach, you get value there. Carson Wentz, Warren. My contention was toward the end of last year, he would follow up, oh my God, did you see that, please, with poor decision-making, trying to force things, bad execution, fumble problem, etc. I thought he got healthy against the worst division ever in the NFC East. I thought every other quarterback in the NFC East did better against the bad teams that they played than Wentz did. I see that continuing this year. I've heard that he continually doesn't run Peterson's offense the way Doug Peterson wants him to, that he has a direct line to or a better relationship with the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, than his coach does, and that it's been a problem. I see Carson Wentz's regression continuing, but he's extremely talented. What am I to think of Carson Wentz?
I don't know about all the speculation and the relationships element of it, but I know what I see out on the football field. And when he's passing the ball, he is an elite arm talent. his decision-making and his judgment at times makes him believe that he has to win the game on certain throws, that he really doesn't have to win the game on those throws. And he forces the issue too much. At times he tries to do too much in the pocket, apart from getting rid of the ball, which causes a lot of the sack fumbles or errors that he has. It seems like critical times in critical moments of games, he is coming up just short, particularly with game-altering plays that are turnovers. You saw they were down, 21-16, start of the second half. They got a stop. They got the ball, drove all the way down the field. And first and 10 from the 21-yard line of the Rams, he throws an interception into the end zone into a guy in double coverage, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. There was no need to do that, no need to force the ball. But I think as a quarterback, he is very talented as they come, you know, not quite upper echelon, the best of the best, but very talented arms to improve a lot of the little things around him if they're going to reach their ceiling.
Yeah, I all I know is he did exactly what you said last week, and 2 weeks ago he breathed life into Washington. You know, two costly turnovers, it just bad decision-making. I see a continuation, a downward trend. I see they drafted Jalen Hurts in the second round instead of packaging and moving up in the draft. I think Carson Wentz is in trouble. I totally agree about the talent. I actually think he has elite arm talent. But I think his head has not been right, and that's been costing him. That is the great Warren Sharp. At Sharp Football, if you want to follow him on Twitter, at Sharp Football. Warren, always appreciate you jumping on with me. NBA execs put together a poll on the best young NBA talent to start a team with. You can hear who I pick next.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
Should I talk now, Raj? I don't know. I started talking and then I heard a recorded voice.
You got to wait. You got to wait till Jake says talk.
Jake never says talk.
I just said talk.
Now he's claiming he just said talk. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. I don't even remember what I teased last segment. It's like yesterday that segment ended.
Well, it was the execs they put together, and I'll put the list of top young players.
While you do that, I want to take a phone call. I know where you're going with all this. I want to take a phone call. Where to? Albert, New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hi, how you doing, Max? Big fan. Well, you're not talking about Wentz.
well, are you a Wentz fan?
I'm a big Eagles fan. Been watching.
So you know I'm telling the truth about him, then. I'm not doubting his talent. Look at the way he's been playing.
I agree with you on some parts. My thing is, I don't think that they're using him correctly as if they should be. In 2017, they used him outside of the pocket much more than they're using him now. Now they're using him as, only a pocket passer. And he succeeds outside of the pocket much better than he does inside the pocket.
He does, but he also got hurt that way. You know, it's a dangerous way to play. And he's a little too tough.
I feel like he recovered from his ACL injury to a point where they can do it more than they're doing it now. They're, barely doing it.
I might agree with you about that. I think the real issue, though, is not a few tactical adjustments here or there. The real issue is I don't think his coach feels like he can control him. And that's not going to work. You know, Doug Peterson's got to be the boss. And I don't even hold it against Peterson if Wentz has that kind of power on the team. And I've heard from especially one, but more than one source that I trust, that Wentz has too much power. And, you know, that ain't going to work. I wanted to take another call, but top young talent to build around. And where was this list generated again, Raj? I saw it this morning, and I don't even remember where I saw it.
It was an NBA execs poll.
Yeah, NBA execs, right. So number 10 is Jaylen Brown. He doesn't get enough love, by the way. Oh, well, if you're going to put it on ESPN News, then it's the whole kind of drama is shot. I was going to build the drama. The TV people are so thirsty. Oh, we got to put up the graphic. Everyone calm down.
Remember, we're on radio. They can't see this stat.
That's
they
right.
Can't
see Ben it, Simmons so. / Brandon Ingram at 9. I like Brandon Ingram a lot. Ben Simmons should be way ahead of Brandon Ingram. Everyone stop. Ben Simmons was maybe the best player defensively in the country. or in the league, in the world, therefore, this season before he got hurt. And Brandon Ingram is a good player who puts up numbers, not always in a winning effort. Jamal Murray, Jamal Murray is way too low on this list. Forget about what you thought you saw in the regular season. When it matters most, get all the way out of here that Jamal Murray is 8. Zion Williamson, 7. I understand that. Zion maybe should be higher when he's healthy, but I get it. Bam Adebayo is 6. I like Bam a lot. That might be a little high. Donovan Mitchell is 5. I think Mitchell and Murray should be side by side wherever they are, and certainly 8 is low. 5 maybe is right. Ja Morant is 4. Devin Booker, 3. Jason Tatum, 2. I saw an anonymous executive say he's a better two-way player right now than Paul George. Takes on the biggest perimeter threat on a nightly basis, defensively and then offensively, can get to the basket, can shoot. I think I agree. I think I'd rather have Jason Tatum than Paul George right now. And Luka Doncic, 1. I was arguing Zion over Luka a bunch of months ago. No, you can't, because Luka showed in the playoffs what he's made of. Luka's one of those dudes. He's a boss. And Zion is, look, we really don't know. We need to see Zion play a full season, be healthy, and that team mature a little bit before we know what we got. We know at the very least he's going to be a high-level all-star. The question is, can he be MVP level? Luka's already been MVP level. He's MVP level right now. He's in his early 20s. They made a pretty good list. Devin Booker was flawless when that season resumed. And Ja Morant, Morant might be my favorite. I love watching Ja Morant. It's just tough to put him ahead of Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray based on what Mitchell and Murray proved when the heat was on, you know? I understand it, though. I would say Jaylen Brown, Brandon Ingram, Bam Adebayo, I really like all those guys, but for starting a team, no. The guys on the list should be Luka, Tatum, Booker. I get Ja. Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray. And Ben Simmons, although with his injury history already, it's tough. But Luka at 1 is right. They got that right. I always say I'm going to take calls. I get to one freaking call, and that's it. 888-SAY-ESPN. I'm going to, I think. I don't know. I wish I had, you know, when I have the board in front of me and I could just pick up calls and drop them when I want, it's better. LeBron may have pushed the GOAT to make a change. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. You don't know. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Don't forget to listen to the ESPN, to ESPN Audio at Home via your smart speaker. ESPN Audio at Home brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz vans are ready for anything.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because yeah. I know I'm First Take. I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's last take.
So, the last take, Raj, which I have prepared. Raj, what did we say I was talking about for last take? I can't see anything you're saying, Raj. I can't hear you.
Of course you do, because you know you had you have it right in front of you where Jordan is making some moves based off of someone else.
There were two possibilities for last take. Excuse me. We're going to go with the Jordan one. Michael Jordan is now the first African American NASCAR owner, right? Starting a team with Bubba Wallace. It occurs to me, and I acknowledged on First Take, this is Last Take now, that I might be reaching here. But Michael Jordan was criticized, like, in recent years, the question as to who the greatest of all time is in basketball has centered on Michael Jordan's peak, really, versus LeBron's longevity. Like, Michael Jordan was, you know, so dominant at his best, no one else could compete with him. He came back with 17 games left in the season after winning three championships, taking most of 2 years off, and they lost to the Orlando Magic, the Shaq Penny Magic, but that was Jordan with no legs. He comes back the next year, like for the full season, sweeps the Magic, and wins three more consecutive championships, posting the highest efficiency ratings, the highest scoring average of all time, and also being defensive of all first team every year, and being defensive player of the year. Just his peak was, he didn't have any series like LeBron James had against the Dallas Mavericks, let's say. There was nothing like that. But LeBron, 17 seasons now, playing as the second greatest player of all time. Does that start mean more to you, the career value? Well, there was another dimension to this. LeBron, you could say, because of his stance on social justice issues, because of his speaking out against them. And by the way, people say, what about China? I agree, and I said it at the time. Repressive communist governments are bad, and LeBron should not have, for business reasons or other reasons, I don't know, buckled. He should have said, no, that's right. That's right. Daryl Morey basically tweeted, people should be free, and that's nothing wrong with that. He should have said that. He didn't. And that's legitimate criticism. But domestic issues of social justice, he's been very strong and showed a lot of leadership. And Jordan famously said, Republicans buy sneakers too. By the way, he said that when our, you know, politics were not as people like to throw around the word polarized as they are now. I don't know. Polarized is one way to put it. The way, I don't know, the mafia and the FBI are polarized, I suppose, if you want to call it polarized. But back then things weren't. And yeah, he's right. People, just because you don't agree with their politics, you know, whatever, when things were more normal. And yet, he did not lead on social issues the way LeBron did. Now, Stephen A. Smith and others have pointed out Jordan was working it from the inside. Look what happened. He became a billionaire. He became a franchise owner. And now, if he so chooses, he can fight back against social injustice from the inside out. Not as an outside agitator, but as someone with real power. It's not wrong. I wonder how much of it is LeBron's leadership, actually, in this respect. Look what LeBron's doing. I wonder how much of it is Jordan being competitive, to tell you the truth. Well, actually, LeBron's the greatest of all time. Just like whoever you thought was the best heavyweight once upon a time, Joe Louis would have beaten Muhammad Ali. Yeah, but even if you believe that, most people think Ali is the greatest, but look at what Ali also accomplished off the field of play, right? All out of the squared circle. Look at what he stood for, what he was willing to sacrifice. That argument has been made about LeBron versus Jordan. It's close on the court, and then look at all that LeBron's done off the court. Michael Jordan has now donated or pledged $100 million to social justice issues, $10 million a year over 10 years. And he just became the first black NASCAR owner on a team with, you know, Bubba Wallace on his team, who, by the way, was a one-man band, basically, starting the ball rolling to get the Confederate flag banned from NASCAR events. By the way, I don't mean to trivialize important issues, but Jordan is a competitive dude. He famously doesn't like to be thought of as not the best at anything, and he's now using his influence to blaze a trail in a way that no other owner in the NBA has. In a way, he's kind of changing the, as everyone throws around the narrative about his legacy off the court.